So we're starting this Rainmaker call, and we're working on the question of, is your office turning off clients? And it's really about the power of perception. And some people might ask, why are we talking about an office? I thought this was about Rainmakers. How do we get new clients? How do we retain new clients? And we are. And we find that not only how well your office is set up, if it's set up from a client's perspective, there's a couple of other assets in the Atticus Rainmaking program that are like this. One is not only your office, but we like to also look at your personal grooming and the staff's grooming. And so that's another asset that we'll talk about at another time. But the one we're talking about right now in your Quick Start manual is asset number 18, the client-centered office. And so what we find in Rainmaking is that client trust, whether we're serving current clients or we're retaining new clients, making sure we're establishing the trust of the client or the perception of trust is critical. And the question we want to ask on this call is, our office environment, from the way that people step right out in from the front door in through the receptionist into your office, is it strengthening that perception or trust, or is it putting nicks and dents in that perception of trust? What we do know is that every time you put a nick in that perception of trust, it affects the client's, the client's workability with you. You'll find that the client, if they don't have our full trust, will ask more questions, will be uncomfortable, will be making more calls into the firm, will be less likely to refer people. So that's the reason we're tackling this particular asset. And on this call with me is also Sean McNallis, who is the co-creator of Atticus and Rainmakers. And if you've participated in any Atticus programs, she is at the core of the writing of all of the materials you would have seen. So it's really what we're tackling in this asset number 18 is the power of perception around your office.
Mark, this is Sean, and hi, everyone. I do want to mention that this issue of client perception is not limited just to the legal profession. Back when the airline industry was making money, if any of us can remember that, they very routinely reinvested in maintaining the appearance of their planes. You know, they would come in, they would replace the seats, the carpeting, the wall covering, and every plane all the time, and typically when you would get on a plane, it looked good. Not so much anymore, but back in those days, they looked good.
So, Sean, why were they, at that time, why were they so particular about the look of their planes?
Because looking good is good business for them. When passengers get on a plane and sit down and they see in front of them frayed fabric or they're walking on carpets that are stained, they immediately start to question how well the airline maintains the engine. And if the airline is really interested in a smooth and anxiety-free ride for their passengers, this anxious thought in the minds of the passengers that, you know, there's frayed carpet and, oh, my God, are they maintaining the engine properly? This all translates into we're all going to die, a lot of anxiety for the passengers. So it's the perception that the plane is not in good repair doesn't help their business.
Well, you know, and Sean, it's not only the airline industry that people leap to these conclusions. And by the way, if they're already nervous when they step on the plane, they're going to be looking for things that will either give them peace of mind or help them fray their nerves more, is the things you're pointing out. But I also think about restaurants. When you go into a restaurant, anybody on this call has that experience of they sit down and they look at the table, and if it's clean and neat, you're looking to see if things are neat. Even subconsciously, you're looking at these things. And then you make that trip to the bathroom, and sometimes you'll go into a restaurant, and if the bathroom isn't kept clean, what do you ask yourself? What goes on in the back of your mind?
Well, you immediately start to question how clean the kitchen is.
Exactly. So we all have that experience. And what I assert to you is that they make these that customers, clients, make these same leaps when they come into your office. So managing their perceptions is just as important for us in the legal profession as it is for the restaurants and it is for the airline industry. Potential clients, when they come into your office, are nervous. They feel at a distinct disadvantage. Their lives are out of control. Whatever's going on for them, whether they're buying a house or they've had some tragedy or they've been sued, this is very important to them. They don't know what they need to do. They're nervous, and that's why they're sitting in your office. So they generally have a problem, and they want to find somebody that they can trust to help them. And so what they're looking for when they offer their, when they enter your office is, can I truly surrender control to the person? And they don't feel like they know the language, the legalese. They don't know the terrain of everything. And they just don't know if this person's going to be able to take care of all of the risks that they have in front of them.
It's been my experience, Mark, in working with my various different attorney clients. They tell me that when their clients sit in their waiting room, they tend to look around. And what I know from my experience in working at Disney is that as you check out the environment that you're in, you're sort of unconsciously looking for cues to whether or not this experience is going to be a positive one. And if in your if when your clients are sitting in your reception area and your reception area is full of, say, mismatched furniture or stained carpets, or your receptionist is sitting behind the desks and seems to be very disinterested or is not very friendly, this doesn't cue the client to begin trusting and believing that this is going to be a positive experience for them. Now, you can contrast this experience with the one in which one of your potential clients might walk into an office and is very impressed by the decor. They feel warmly welcomed by the staff. You know, their first impression is a very positive one, and it sort of confers on the firm all kinds of wonderful attributes. Whether or not the firm deserves them or not, it has made a very positive first impression. And this makes the sales job, and yes, I am using the word sales, the sales job that the attorney has to do in the initial client meeting that much easier, because already the context, the office surrounding, the environment, has already cued the client that this is a person that can be trusted, this is a positive experience, this is a person who knows what they're doing.
So this is all to say, Sean, that it's our job as rainmakers and marketers to manage the perception of our clients right up front.
Absolutely, right away. I mean, what is said about first impressions really, really counts.
So they're mostly it's unconscious, I imagine, but they're assessing the look, the feel, even the sound of what's going around them at all times. So as they walk into the building, and I want everyone in this call to think about their office, because we're going to give you an assignment at the end, but I want you to think about your office in your mind's eye from the outside walking in. And so the client is looking at the landscaping, they're looking at their signage, they're noticing the parking, how easy it is to access you, to get access to you, if it's difficult to find your office, even things like your website, if it's hard to navigate or if your letterhead is mismatched. These little things can make an enormous, enormous difference. Matter of fact, there's a couple of books out there, and there, if you're an Atticus graduate or you're with Atticus, on the website, if you go to the Atticus graduates, there's a recommendation for a number of great business books that our clients have read and that we've read and we recommend. One of them that I highly recommend is called Good to Great. And in that book, the opening line, and Marvin, you would have heard us talk about this at the program this last weekend, is that the author, Jim Collins, says in the very opening, the first paragraph, the first sentence, he says, "The enemy of great is good." And you all may want to write that down. I'm going to say it again. The enemy of great is good. And what he means by that is that we get comfortable in our space. We get comfortable doing things the way we've always done them. and we stop pursuing excellence. And why I think that is relevant is because what Sean and I are asserting here is that clients unconsciously are looking for things that can chip away at that perception of trust. And so one of the things we want to do on this call is sort of navigate how to not have them worry about that issue. But the other side of it is if we're always looking at excellence, if we're always looking at how could we provide more value to our client, how could we make this experience more valuable for them, that we're going to challenge ourselves to keep creating new ways to build trust in. You know, when I speak of, that I just mentioned experience, there's another book out there called The Experience Economy.
As a matter of fact, the authors, Joseph Pine and James Gilmore, write in The Experience Economy that today's consumers are pretty sophisticated, and all of you on this call know that your clients are becoming more and more sophisticated. And we as sophisticated consumers are really seeking an enhanced experience when we buy goods or services. Think about Starbucks, for an example. They charge, $4 or more for a cup of coffee? But they serve it. They serve it extremely fresh coffee, very custom-made. They serve it in a hipper, more hip environment, if you will, than the diner on the corner. And because they surround their consumer, their customer, with this sort of enhanced environment and really customized service, they can charge more. Dentists. They are trying to give an enhanced experience to their clients by installing massage chairs, for example, earphones to have them listen to music, television monitors that are running movies and games and so forth. Anything to give the client or the customer, the patient in this case, a better experience. Theaters, when you go to your nearby theater, a lot of them are becoming remodeled, stadium seating, enhanced sound systems, seats that vibrate to the music. I mean, we're all about the enhanced experience. So technology and design are being employed in many, many different locations in order to enhance the client experience, and we're encouraging you all to do the same thing.
One of the things I just want to point out, Sean, is that it's valuable for, if you have your team on the call with you, it's valuable for everybody to start noticing these client experiences, because what Sean's pointing to is the authors, Pine and Gilmore. And the book is called, for those of you that want to read it, The Experience Economy. And he argues that we've gone through different models, different types of economies, and today people will pay more for an experience than they will for a commodity. And so what Sean is saying is we've got to look for that experience. But as you're out there, whether you go in Starbucks, start to notice stuff. Notice the decor. Notice the music that's playing in the background. Notice the environment they're creating for that coffee. When you go in the dentist, do the same thing. And when you go into another law, other law offices, start to notice the decor. Notice if they're trying consciously to do anything to influence the client's perception that of your brand, of their brand, and of building trust. Sean, a number of Atticus clients have, we've talked about this for a number of years, a number of Atticus clients have taken this idea to heart. And they've worked very hard at creating a better experience of their clients. So we've got examples of people that have been doing this. I can think of one. I won't name the name, but there's a family law attorney that is out of Mississippi, and Jackson, Mississippi, and some of you on this call will probably know the individual. And he's really taken to the whole re-engineering his law firm so that it serves his clients better, serves him better. But he went so far as he finally bought, purchased, and built his own building so he could have more control. He put his parking lot out behind the street. He purposely did that because he knew that when people are going through something like a divorce or marital issues, they don't want to be seen by the general public going into a family law office. So he put his parking lot out to the back where it couldn't be seen by the general public. The next thing he did is when people come into his building, he set up the landscaping so that it was very attractive. He even has a fountain out front. And as you come in, now he has, this particular attorney is targeting high net, mostly women. So he works mostly with women, professionals and wives of professionals that might come into his firm. And when they come into the front door, often he has had someone greet them. Just like they go to a spa, they walk down the stairs and greet them and escort them upstairs. They have music in the hallway, and it's a background music that sort of sets the tone that you're in a place that you're going to be okay and taken care of. When you walk into the front door, he's got a very welcoming reception. He's actually got fresh flowers. He has fresh flowers brought in every single week, and lots of them. When they come in, he hired a receptionist that had been through a divorce, and it was a woman in her mid-50s that had been through a divorce, and she was a very compassionate person. So when they came in, she was greeted by this person, and rather than just sit behind the desk, often she would come out and sit beside them and greet them and talk to them about what was going to happen in the office. Then, instead of asking if they wanted coffee, she gave them a menu. And so they had a system that someone in the office would pick up fresh different types of pastries and different types of fruits, and would also they had a special coffee maker that can make different types of coffee. And so they gave them a menu, which gave the client more control and choice over what was happening. And the office was set up in such a way that when they went into the attorney's main office, he has pictures of his family all around. He doesn't have all of his degrees sitting around. He has pictures of his family and drawings from his little girls all over the office. So it's more into a family environment, and they get a sense of who he is. So there's lots of ways to create an environment. And I will tell you, this person, before his sort of transformation of looking at the practice from the client's eyes, not the attorney's eyes, he used to have it set up with pictures of him playing rugby. He was a rugby player, and he'd have pictures of all his rugby days when he was playing, and it'd have no scents, no other things. Everybody was just fairly much greeted, and they were greeted nicely, but there was nothing that was really set from the client's perspective. So he had it decorated with colors and scents and flowers that could really serve his clients. Sean, are there other examples that you can think of?
A couple of other examples, but first I do want to say that there's two types of people out there. There's high context people and low context people. I know this from working out at Disney. It was a philosophy that we were familiar with. High context people pay a lot of attention to their environment. They take their cues from the environment. The environment really informs a lot of what they think. Low context people are people that don't pay a lot of attention to the environment. Women tend to fall more into the high context category, but all people are somewhat sensitive to their environment. But I will say, just like the client that Mark was just discussing in Mississippi, his target market is women, high net worth individuals, mostly women, wives of professionals and professional women themselves. That's a very specific market, and this client really catered to that market by setting up his environment. His wife, by the way, happens to be an interior designer, so he had a little additional help here. But he really catered to, particularly to who his target market is. And I encourage all of you to think about what are the populations of people that come through your office? You know, who do you need to tailor the environment for? There's a PI firm that we used to work with that used to actually heard about these things somewhere and actually bought these microwave chocolate chip cookies. And he would make them periodically through the day, and the scent of chocolate chip cookies is what would first greet you when you entered his office. You know, it's a warm, comforting smell. And, you know, in a PI firm, Most of the people there have undergone some amount of tragedy, had an accident, are dealing with some extensive problems. And that just gave sort of a nice, you know, reminder of home, sort of welcoming scent to greet clients when they came in the door. And they became very popular with the clients. Now, he didn't make this up. There's hotel chains that actually do this very same thing. And furniture stores. Mark, were you going to say something?
Well, you know, I was just thinking. It's just that some people on this call might be thinking, well, chocolate chip cookies, baking, menus, those sort of things. It's like, come on, that's kind of crazy. But it's not so crazy anymore. I really want to remind all of us that the nature of the profession has changed, and clients are truly in control. With the growth of number of attorneys, and I think that if you've been to any of our other programs, you know the numbers, and that it boils down to there's one attorney for every 340 Americans. That's man, woman, and child.
And so one way that attorneys can distinguish themselves from their competition is in the level of service they provide, because the documents they provide, the outcomes that you may provide. Some of them, you know, there's a limit to how enhanced the actual product can be. So you have to pump up the level of service that's provided in order to distinguish yourself. And it's these kind of small touches that will have your office talked about when, you know, that client goes home and starts talking about you to his or her friends and family and associates.
Well, absolutely. And so the point for us is that we have to stop looking at the office through our eyes, and we have to put on a new set of glasses and look at the office from the client's perspective. So Sean's encourage you to get very clear, and this is an important part of Rainmakers anyways, is to get very clear about who your target client is and their demographics or psychographics. Know them better than they even know themselves, and then build an environment that serves them. Sean, were there some other examples that you had?
We have another firm there in Canada, and they were working with me. They determined that they were going to deliver what they called silver tray service, and they were taking their cue from really high-end restaurants, luxury hotels. And when a client came to the office, unlike the client in Mississippi, you know, they were immediately offered a small menu of primarily beverages, including coffee, tea, a couple of different kinds of water. And when the client made the selection, the receptionist brought out their beverage on a silver tray in a very nice glass or a very nice saucer. And the clients start feeling very well taken care of, even before their conversation with the attorney has begun. So these are just some small psychological elements that you can add to the service level that you provide, and it goes to the intangibles. It goes to making clients feel taken care of.
Well, Sean, there's I've got a couple of examples I can think of, but I also, it reminds me of your Disney background where you talk about, and I know you've mentioned this, is that the office is really like a stage. And the clients coming in are stepping into a sort of a theater, in a way, a stage in the experience. I don't know if that relates to you, or you can relate that back to the Disney environment.
Absolutely. I mean, Disney is nothing but a stage. I mean, their approach springs right out of the theatrical tradition. Everything you see at Disney is, you know, designed for the guest. Visitors, tourists are never referred to as tourists. They're referred to as guests. And the employees are referred to as cast members. In fact, next month we're going to talk more about this when we talk about personal presentation for those of you that are wanting to market yourselves in your practice. As an Imagineer out at Disney, one of the first things they do to initiate you is they put you through a slideshow, and it's called Good Show, Bad Show. And this was to sort of instruct you in how to understand what was appropriate for the clients or for the guests to see and experience and what wasn't. And you would sit through this whole orientation thing where you would look at all of the pictures of bad show, which would be you know, trash on the street, sloppy trash cans, paint that's really scratched, dirty restrooms, all that stuff. And then it would be immediately contrasted with what's good show. So that as Imagineers, we really had a chance to refine our sensibilities about what's appropriate, what looks good, and what gives a totally wrong impression. So once you've been through training like that, you can't help but apply it. And I use it often in, with the clients that I coach because I want to sensitize them, especially if they're men. I want to sensitize them to the environment that you're presenting to clients. They're reading that environment. They're picking up clues from that environment as to whether or not you're a solid, responsible, you know, professional, whether or not you can be trusted, whether or not your operation is organized. I mean, nothing worse than a client coming in to a sloppy, dirty, disorganized-looking office with lots of piles sitting around, boxes of files in the hallway. God forbid if they make it into your office instead of the conference room to meet with you, the attorney, they might stumble over all kinds of files you have stacked on the floor, on your visitors' chairs, on the desk itself, on your credenza. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's piles of files that really litter a lot of law offices. And though you may know where everything is at in all of those piles, there's a method to your madness. To other people, it looks very disorganized. So we're going to really encourage you towards the end of this call to take a very open-eyed, clear look at the message you're sending to clients with your environment.
Well, and you know, if Disney can do it, which has thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming through every single day, and when people do come in, they create an environment of they're in another world, and people buy into it so quickly that they'll park their strollers and leave their camcorders on their strollers and go into a ride like everything's going to be fine.
Absolutely. So, I mean, people typically, they suspend belief in some weird way, and they when they get into the parks, they feel so surrounded by this fantasy environment that they do things that aren't actually good sense. I mean, it's not uncommon to see video cameras and just in strollers outside of different rides because they believe that nothing bad could happen to them in that environment. So we're not encouraging that level of, suspension, but we're really looking for, an increased sensitivity, a higher level of awareness as to what the cues are that your environment is sending.
Well, Sean, I can think of another example of a high-end attorney that did, he defended doctors against medical malpractice suits, and he was, he did something very smart. He set up his office, another example too, but he set up his office in a medical building. So in a medical plaza, he set up his office. So the rest of the
well, that's smart, just right from the start.
It really is. It's sort of go where the fish are. He went
exactly
right where the fish were. And then when you opened his doors, you stepped into a new world. You stepped sort of out of the medical plaza, but into an interesting new world because the office had like dark maple wood paneling around it. It was very high end, like you would see in a library, and it had really beautiful art, and it had indirect lighting, and very nice seating arrangement, and high end couches, those sort of things, and then the receptionist at the other end who greeted you. And when the attorney was available, and she would escort you down the hallway to see him, and he really set this up like a stage, because I can remember as you walked down the hallway, he used to be a page in the Senate, and he had autographed pictures of from some senators and presidents on the hallway as you walked down his hallway, and they were personalized to him. You actually...
It's a nice thing to enhance credibility right there.
It was. And then you walk by his law library. So he had his law library as part of the hallway. It wasn't tight or anything, but it was set back and big. But you walk through the smell of books, which is knowledge. And so you sort of, and especially if you think about it, he's serving doctors, and doctors have spent a lot of time in libraries and college. So you're enhancing that smell there. And on the right, you could see this. You walk by another room that's dimly lit, but you could see all of these computer screens lit up. And so you could see at a room he was very high tech as well. And then you walk into his office, and it's set up like a gentleman's sitting room. And so it had a lot of windows with some plants that faced the city, and it was wide open there. But his desk was at the other end. It was very neat, open-ended. It wasn't a closed desk. It was a, I don't know how to, you'd have a better definition, Sean, but it was an open desk. It wasn't like a covering in front of it. I don't know what that style is. And his stuff was on top of it. Then he had two chairs, high-back chairs, and a couch. And he was very specific because I was interviewing him about this very subject. And he would sit people that were his clients on the high chair with him. Opposing counsel always got sat, and their clients, if they came in, always got sat in the couch, which would sink lower. And he was very clear about how he positioned things to where they sunk in. And it's these little things, but he had set the stage entirely. One other thing, it's, you know, it was appropriate for him to decorate his office to the doctors, but I've also been in law offices in Key West. And, Sean, you've been there, too. And what did you notice when you went into the Key West offices?
Well, down in Key West, it's a whole different world, and the office is pretty festive. I mean, yeah. You know, down there, it's very much in keeping with the theme of the Keys, and which is more laid back, sort of informal, more sort of tropical kind of look, and not unusual to see law firms down there with, you know, pink walls.
Pastel
colors.
Colors.
That may not work in Boston. It probably wouldn't work in New York. But in the Keys, it actually worked, and it worked well with the kind of clients these particular attorneys worked with.
And it wasn't unusual to see the attorneys in shorts. I'm not kidding, because it fit to the decor, and it fit what the client was expecting, and it put the clients at ease. You're one of us. You understand me. So we want you to think about all of these things, and we need to ask the question, what kind of initial impression do you want your firm to make?
And for some of you that will have a hard time even looking at and evaluating your firm, because, you know, you live there. You probably spend more time there than you do at home for a lot of you. And, you know, there comes a point where you can't really see your own environment with fresh eyes. You can always use this sort of mystery shopper technique. And the mystery shopper technique is to have somebody that is not known to your office, that is not known by your staff, somebody that you know that you trust. You can actually ask them to call your office, attempt to make an appointment with you, make the appointment, come and sit in your waiting room, and just be noticing how they're treated, how they're served, what they see, what they experience, what they feel, touch, smell, and think when they arrive in your office. And, of course, you do this unbeknownst to the staff because you want the staff to be genuinely the way that they are with clients on a normal, natural basis. And then you bring them back into the office, and they can tell you about what their experience was like when they were greeted on the phone. You know, did the receptionist sound kind of surly or unfriendly or curt or short with them? You know, I mean, I call law offices all the time. Sometimes I get this, you know, law office, and, you know, you just state your business really quickly and you move on. It's not a welcoming feeling.
You can
ask them whether or not they were put on hold for a long period, what was that like, how hard your office was to find, what it's like to sit in the reception area, like that. And I will say, this is a really good thing to do for those of you that are not real sensitive to your environment. And if you can't use the mystery shopper technique, for a lot of you, especially the men out there, your spouses can often do this for you. They can come in and they can evaluate your office environment for you also, because in many cases, spouses are more sensitive.
Well, I like the mystery shopper. And the only thing I would say is make sure the mystery shopper is someone, and you create this. You don't go out and, you know, find a service for this, which I'm sure there is, but you could actually enroll someone to do this for you. But make sure that it's someone that is of the same demographics that your target client is from, that you would have them do that. And one other thing that you might do, as a matter of fact, you might take that as an assignment out of this, that your team can do this and then get some feedback on it. But we also, in your Quick Start Manual, your Rainmakers Quick Start Manual, there under asset number 18, there's a facilities checklist. And it's a checklist where you can look at the practice from your client's eyes. So it'll walk you through the reception area. It'll walk you through the rest of the facility and the office. It will look at materials and signage, even the telephone system. And you can add your own things to the checklist, like landscaping, how the landscaping fits in, and the hallways all the way up to your office. And part of this checklist is to look at, just to make sure that we're meeting our clients' expectations. What Sean and I are trying to encourage you all to do is to go beyond your clients' expectations and try to figure out a way, how could we, looking at our office, create an experience for our client, create value for our clients that's above and beyond that any of our competition is doing or could think about doing. So, Sean, one of the things we might do is we might open the call up for a moment and see if we want to check in with some of the people on this call about what they may be doing or what they're noticing about their own firm.
We did a major renovation within the office probably 2 years now.
Oh, good.
So it's still fresh. You know, we brought in an interior designer. We decorated the offices in a way which we thought would be pleasing to the clients.
Who is your target market?
Businesses.
Okay.
Business owners?
Business owners.
What
okay.
size business owners?
I'm sorry, what?
What size business owners? You know,
they're between 3 and 100 million.
Okay.
In
okay.
gross revenues.
So these are high-end people. They're earning good incomes.
Yeah, and they're closely held, privately managed.
Yep.
But they're all of the same kind.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had the office painted by people that we brought in to coordinate paint and carpeting. The thing I think that we need to do a little more of is internally within each person's office. We have actually five conference rooms that we've decorated nicely
uh-huh.
and that service everyone within the firm. But I think the standard within each person's office is all over the lot. And quite frankly, it's not as good as it should be. Because even while people walk down the hall, there's an opportunity to see certain offices that are disorderly.
Mm-hmm.
But the front area, we opened it up. We took additional space. We have about 15,000 square feet of space. And we opened up the front area, went out and bought a whole new receptionist, and we finished putting a wood floor in there. And then we had a sign maker come in and do a big, huge sign on, what is it, Lucite? But in gold lettering.
Wow.
It almost looks like it's in thin air.
Floating.
And, you know, we had logos designed as we did. And, you know, we've been doing things along that line. But I think that, you know, again, I think that we need to work on the inside of everyone's office.
What has been the reaction of clients to your rehab in your office?
Well, I think overall it's been very positive. I mean, we've had good reaction. We've had a number of events here. And I think people are really surprised that there's a firm with this kind of a setup in the North Shore.
I think it's great. And it makes
I'll open it up to the people that are with me. I have three of the other attorneys with me in the firm. What's your reaction to?
I think that whenever clients come in, they're pretty impressed with the office and what we've done. And I think just in general, even just us being in this in our office building too, compared to like other offices, so it's impressive.
Yeah, we tried to locate ourselves within one of the high-end office parks, and it services primarily businesses, and it's considered a unique space on the North Shore.
That's great. Very good. Thanks so much for giving us your input. And you're really you've endorsed the whole idea also of using professionals, interior designers. and architects if necessary to get the look that you want. And thanks for bringing that up because that's an important piece.
What would you suggest, if I could ask, how we could get everyone to shape up their office? How do we get them on board?
Well, it helps to have visuals. It helps to have one office that really exemplifies the look that you're going for. You know, the level of orderliness and the lack of piles and the, you know, level of design on the walls, whether or not you have carpet and wallpapering and nice molding and plants. You know, get one office into the kind of shape you want it to be, and then everybody can use that as a model.
And so you're talking about sort of like the Disney example of good show, bad show.
Exactly. You can also pull pictures from, you know, magazines and journals that also show the level of design you're going for. And you can use that to help people also.
The other thing I might do is just do a little research on the number of attorneys serving your market in your area, just so that everyone in there knows that we can't sit on our laurels and think just because we're getting business today, we're going to keep getting that business. And one of the ways we can take control is these little things. And it's how our clients, when they come in, see our office and whether they refer a business to us. And they think we're one of them and we understand them. We're deal makers. We're protectors of them. We're counselors. And that we're organized and we're sharp. We're talking about we're talking about very strong business leaders here. And they need to know that they're dealing with other people that are on top of their game. And if our office doesn't show we're on top of our game, they're going to question every decision we make. And they're not shy about questioning our decisions. So we need to be able to take control of our environment right away and show them that we're in control of this. They may be controlled back in that business, back in their offices, but we're in control here and we can lead them, we can direct them, we can help them out of their mess.
Well, thank you very much. Those are great suggestions.
Sean, why don't we open it up to one more person?
What have you been thinking as you've been hearing us talk about the office environment?
You know that it's all part of you know, customer service. It's part of, you know, looking at the your practice as client oriented, and it's all part of marketing. It's part of, you know, like you said, somebody, I don't know, as Mark said in the beginning, you know, your letterheads. Everything being consistent with the target market that you want to reach, and you know, to set your office up as much as possible. And what I was interested in what Mark said was, you know, to kind of put things in there that will allow your main demographic group that your clients feel comfortable. You know, I had never thought from that way. I'm with the diplomas, and as you see many offices, you go and you see things lauding the lawyers, and you know, but really we should be focusing more on, you know, the people that are coming in here.
Absolutely. I mean, you want to have things that enhance your own credibility and speak to that, but you also want to make it an environment that's really comfortable for them as well. I tell you, the only offices, and we'll talk about this next month in our personal presentation call, but the only people that can get away with really being messy and disorganized and even eccentric looking are people that are such rare experts that you have no choice but to use them. You know what I mean? They're in such a specialized niche that, you know, they're just considered eccentric and that's part of their charm. Those are the only folks that can get away with looking, you know, disorderly. Other than that, you really need to present a really unified and complete image to the client.
We have to be able to set up with the client right away. They know that we're in charge. We can lead them. We can direct them. We can help them out of this mess. And you take control right away. After we go through this conversation, I'd like everyone in the call and your teams to be addressing the same question for themselves. What's one thing that you think you could do to either set a better stage for your prospective clients or existing clients? What's one thing you could do with your office that you think would help it?
Actually, I'm kind of pleased with my office, but what could I do?
Anything to enhance the reception area?
Yeah, I think perhaps as far as things that we could have on stock on hand to offer our clients. We do have coffee and, you know, soft drinks, and perhaps what Mark was talking about, some of the different types of food that give a nice aroma to the office.
Right. Absolutely. It's a nice sort of psychological additional little touch.
Well, thanks for contributing that. One of the things I'd like you to do, I'd like you to take on the challenge of finding that mystery shopper in your demographic market, because just when we think we know that it's looking good and we think it's looking
right, of
great,
course, yeah.
Let's see what the world brings back to
okay.
us, the environment brings
sounds
back.
Good.
And
yeah.
it's good to see.
Absolutely.
Could be something minor, could be glaring, but I'd like you all to get your teams enrolled in this, because it's little by little every month that we pursue excellence, a little bit better, a little bit better. How could we do better than our competition, and how could we double the value we give our client, and how could we create an extraordinary experience for them so they leave here talking about us and saying, you need to go talk to this attorney. So we're going to give you a couple of assignments to take out of this call. And let me just, before I give you the assignments, go over, make sure Sean and I do a quick summary of this call so you can just get a capture of what we talked about. Is that what we're saying here is that managing clients' expectations from the very start, even when they visit our website, when they pick up that telephone, when they come to our office, we're sending a message to them that is consistent with how professional we are, how stable we are, how organized we are, how well we can lead them, how well we can take control. And so we went through a couple of analogies of other industries, the airline industry, the restaurant industry, and we asked you all to go out there and challenge your staff to go out there and notice client experiences in businesses, because most businesses are doing it far better than the legal profession today. And that's good news for you, because your competitors aren't even awake to this, and you are. We also gave you some examples of law firms, PI firms, family law firms, commercial litigators that are doing things today that are setting a stage for when the client comes in. And we said we've also got to be sensitive to our market, whether you're in Boston, New York, Ohio, or you're in Key West, Florida. There's a lot of things that you could do. We ask that you just take a look at your office and do your own test. Sean recommended using the mystery shopper. We've provided you a form inside of your Quick Start kit that you can do a facilities checklist. And when we email you the summary of this conversation, we'll make sure we have that another checklist, the same checklist there, in case you don't have it in your Quick Start manual. And then we talk to a couple of you that are doing things and could do better. So what we want to do now is leave you with a couple of assignments. Sean, what would you recommend that people do for assignments out of this call?
I recommend they involve their staff and that they go through the facilities checklist and check off all of the different elements that they are currently doing now in compliance with the facilities checklist, and work with their team to then start bringing up to par those elements that they find are lacking. So involve the team. Even say things to your team like, "What would an award-winning firm look like? How would an award-winning firm treat their clients?" A lot of you, when you go to the very large firms, large firms typically invest in the way that they look. They know that it's important. What I want you guys to do, because you're all small and mid-sized firm owners for the most part, I want you guys to adopt the look of a big firm, but in your small office. There's no reason, just because you're small, that you can't have a really appropriate and nice, even elegant look for your office. So involve your team, go through the facilities checklist, and be prepared on the next coaching call, which is in 2 weeks, to come back, talk to us about a toleration in this area that you have resolved. We'd like to hear some stories about things you put into place and how the clients are reacting.
That's a great point, Sean. So here's the challenge, is to, before the next coaching call, so you remember this is sort of a training call on rainmaking, and then our next call, the second call of the month, in this case is May 15th. It's an open coaching call. But what we'd like to do is challenge you in that time to do what Sean said, challenge you to try the mystery shopper. Challenge you to eliminate one toleration. And a toleration is anything in the office that's inconsistent of your vision, inconsistent with excellence, and eliminate that before the next call. The other thing is you could challenge your team at a lunch. You could do a lunch and learn and bring in pizza and challenge your team and say, how could we double the experience or double the value with the stage we have here for our clients?
So Mark, I also want to say that next month, a month from today, the first Tuesday in June, we're going to be applying these same principles to our own personal presentation, your own personal presentation.
So grooming.
Grooming, clothing, et cetera. And this is a great call to have the team present for, especially if you know that your look or that of your team needs a little bit of an upgrade and you want to present a polished image. This is a good time to bring the teams to these calls. Bring partners you think would be interested or could need to hear this. Bring team members. It's going to be a great call. Along these same lines, only to going to personal presentation.
Okay, great job. So, gang, we're going to go ahead and complete this call. And if you have questions, I want you to bring them up with your resource assistant. Make sure we get them before the next call so we can address them on the coaching call or bring them to the coaching call. And again, we'd remind you in Rainmakers, the key is to make sure that you're consistently staying out there, staying connected to your referral sources, and building relationship and trust with your clients. Great job, everyone. Sean, great job. Thank you, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good rest of the day.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.